is filled with men and women who stay faithful to God and God's Word in the midst of some very difficult times. Martin Luther, in 1517, wrote his 95 Theses, outlining the corruption and heresy taught by the church at that time. He stayed faithful and was eventually kicked out of the church, refusing to recant and uttering his famous phrase, "Here I stand." It led to Luther living a life in hiding, where it was legal for anyone in Germany at that time to kill Luther without fear of being punished. John Wycliffe, some 200 years before Luther, stood up to the heresy and corruption of the church, and Wycliffe made the first translation of the Bible into English. He was kicked out of the church, condemned as a heretic, and after he had died, they exhumed his body, and then they burned his body as a heretic. John Bunyan spent 20 years in prison for simply preaching the gospel. And during that time, he stayed faithful to God, writing Pilgrim's Progress. The Puritans, thrown into jail, facing persecution from the King of England, basically forced to leave England, but they stayed faithful to God during some very difficult circumstances. And we find examples in the Bible of men and women who stayed faithful to God when facing opposition and persecution. You all know Daniel, thrown into the lion's den, simply because he wouldn't stop praying. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace, simply because they would not bow down to an idol. They stayed faithful to God in some difficult circumstances. We are going to look at a passage in the book of Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah chapter 20. And in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah had been sent to the southern kingdom of Judah to proclaim God's coming judgment upon Judah. And God is going to bring judgment upon the southern kingdom of Judah because they have forsaken God and turned to idols. They were worshiping and following false gods instead of the one true God. And if you were to take time and study the book of Jeremiah, you would find that throughout the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah stays faithful to God. He has done and is doing what God has told him to do. And throughout the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah over and over again faces opposition for his obedience and preaching of God's word to the leaders of the nation of Judah. He was preaching to both government leaders and religious leaders, and they opposed and persecuted Jeremiah. And this opposition and persecution lasted throughout Jeremiah's whole ministry, 40 years. In today's passage, chapter 20, we're going to see Jeremiah facing some opposition. And this time, the opposition is going to come from the leader of the house of God, the temple in Jerusalem. And this opposition Jeremiah is going to face is very extreme. And it causes Jeremiah, human like we are, it causes his emotions to go up and down from complete confidence in God to a moment of utter despair and wanting to never have lived. And yet, through all of this, these highs and lows, Jeremiah remains faithful. A life of faithfulness to God is going to include some difficult times. But trusting God's word and obeying God is what makes us as believers faithful, not our feelings and not our circumstances. Let us go to God in prayer one more time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our service so far. And Lord, we just pray now that you would quiet our hearts, remove distractions, and let your word not return void, let it penetrate our hearts, let it cut, let it divide. And Lord, just reveal to us areas where we need to be strengthened, edified, and encouraged, even areas where we need to be convicted. It's your word, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit take it and use it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That brings us to our first point, which is faithfulness to God will sometimes bring believers opposition. And we find this in verses 1 and 2 of Jeremiah chapter 20. And I want to read verses 1 and 2. Now, Pasha the priest, the son of Imam, who was the chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. Then Pasha beat Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate at the house of the Lord. Here we see Jeremiah is opposed by Pasha. Pasha is the priest in the temple of God, chief officer in the temple. Actually, Pasha would have had the second highest position in the temple at this time. Just the high priest and then Pasha. And we know, if you were to study Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29, that some godly men like Jehoiada and Zephaniah, they held this office in the future. But here, Jeremiah is opposed and persecuted by the religious leaders in Judah, the ones who had position and authority in God's house at this time. I want you to pay attention to where Jeremiah is arrested. He is prophesying. And according to the previous chapter, Jeremiah 19 and verse 14, Jeremiah is in the courtyard of God's house. So Jeremiah is in God's house, speaking God's word, and he is arrested there. Faithfulness and obedience got Jeremiah arrested in the church, if you'll use the modern day term. And they not only have Jeremiah taken into custody, but they also had him beaten. It's the same form of punishment, scourging, that Jesus endured before he died on the cross. And you all know that according to the Mosaic Law, Deuteronomy 25, that the scourging, he could not be beaten, he could only be beaten with 39 lashes, 40 times minus 1. But this scourging, this beating, was a very severe form of punishment. And not only that, then they take Pasha and have him put in stocks, our verses tell us. Again, another form of severe punishment. Stocks were a wooden frame where there were upper holes in the frame for the arms and the head to be placed through. And then there were holes in the bottom of the frame for the legs and feet to be placed in. And then they would stretch them to make their body hurt. Jeremiah endures these two forms of severe punishment and pain for obedience to God. But the thing is, this opposition, it should not have come as a surprise to Jeremiah. Because if you were to study Jeremiah and go back to chapter 1 and verse 19, God had told Jeremiah very early in his ministry that the religious leaders in Judah would fight and oppose him as he proclaimed God's judgment against them. And if you were to study chapter 12 of Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah in chapter 12 that many bad things are going to happen to him, like those described here in chapter 20. Jeremiah, opposed and persecuted for being faithful to God. And we as believers also, we can expect opposition for our faithfulness to God. Opposition is going to come for believers. Now, we may never be arrested and taken into captivity like Jeremiah was. But we are going to face opposition in this world if we stand up and stay faithful to what God says. Maybe your boss asks you to bribe someone or to do something illegal on your job just to make a little more money. And you stay faithful to God and don't do it. And it costs you your job. Maybe friends or even worse, family, that have no contact with you because you stay faithful to God and don't participate in activities that are against what God wants. Maybe you share and teach God's word with others, and the so-called religious people, like here in Jeremiah, that oppose you because of your faithfulness to God and His word. Opposition will come for believers. We don't go around looking for it. We don't invite it to come. We don't urge it on. But opposition will come for remaining faithful to God. We can't expect it. Next, we come to our second main point for today, which is faithfulness to God will always show believers God at work in a situation. And we find this in verses 3 through 6 of our passage. Verses 3 through 6 of Jeremiah chapter 20. The next day, when Elisha released Jeremiah from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord does not call your name Elisha, but terror on every side. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. They shall fall by the sword, and your enemies while you look on. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive to Babylon, and shall strike them down with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the wealth of the city, all its gains, all its prized belongings, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah into the hand of their enemies, who shall plunder them and seize them and carry them to Babylon. And you, Pasha, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity to Babylon. You shall go, and there you shall die, and there you shall be buried, you and your friends to whom you have prophesied falsely." Here, after Pasha the priest has Jeremiah beaten and has him put in stocks, he releases Jeremiah the next day. And then God gives Jeremiah a prophecy against Pasha. And first of all, Jeremiah prophesies that Pasha will get a new name. And this new name is Terror on Every Side. This name given to Pasha is going to show what is going to happen when Babylon finally comes and captures Judah. This term terror, if you were to study the book of Jeremiah, is actually used 4 times in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6, Jeremiah 46, Jeremiah 49, 2 times in Jeremiah 49. And they all describe the Babylonian capture of the city of Jerusalem. Not only that, but Jeremiah also prophesies this terror is going to be brought upon Pasha the priest himself. In verse 4, he prophesies that Pasha's friends will die by the sword. Also in verse 4, Jeremiah prophesies that Judah is going to be carried captive to Babylon. Verse 4 of chapter 20 is very important in the book of Jeremiah if you were to study it. It is the first time in the book of Jeremiah that the city of Babylon is named as the country that is going to take the southern kingdom of Judah into captivity. Up to this point, it's only been identified as the nation to the north. But here, that nation becomes known as Babylon. And in verse 5, Jeremiah prophesies that Jerusalem's wealth will be carried away to Babylon. And also, Jeremiah prophesies that all of Pasha's family is going to be carried captive to Babylon and die and be buried in Babylon in verse 6. And in verse 6, Jeremiah also prophesies that Pasha himself is going to be carried captive and that he has prophesied falsely. 5 specific prophecies that God gives to Jeremiah against Pasha. Now, I want to point out that this prophecy against Pasha occurred during the reign of the king of Jehoiakim, and it would happen, Jeremiah actually spoke this, either in the year 607 or 606 B.C. But I want you to understand, Jeremiah didn't see God working at this time. The fulfillment of this prophecy wasn't immediate. Jeremiah didn't prophesy this and it come about that exact minute. It did not start to be fulfilled until a few short years later. Actually, in 605 BC, when the Babylonians came and plundered the temple and took away the articles in the temple. And then it was further fulfilled in 597 BC when some Jews, about 10,000, were carried captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then it was later fulfilled even more, 11 years later, 586 BC, when the temple was burned, the city was left in ruins, and all of Jerusalem was taken captive to Babylon. Jeremiah would have lived to see this happen. But I want you to understand that this Jeremiah opposed and persecuted, but God was at work even in that time, even though Jeremiah didn't see it immediately. And we are to look for God's hand at work in any situation we are in, including the extremely difficult situation we face. With Jeremiah here, facing persecution, but being faithful to God, he didn't see God at work in the situation until 10 to 15 years later. But God was at work. The prophecy that God gave to Jeremiah came true. It came about. It took time. God's timing. But Jeremiah finally saw and realized God at work in this situation. And when we as believers today, when we are faithful, when we face some difficulties, look for God's hand. See God at work in it. If you don't recognize God at work in it immediately, be like Jeremiah. Stay faithful. Stay true to God. Keep trusting God. And eventually, like Jeremiah, you will see God's hand at work in the situation. That's why we trust Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for the good of those who love God. Moving on, we come to our third point for this morning, which is faithfulness to God will sometimes cause believers to have doubts and questions. And we find this in verses 7 and 8 of our passage, where Jeremiah says, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long." And I also want you to look at verse 10. "For I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say, oh, my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him." Here, Jeremiah, arrested, beaten, put in stocks, all for remaining faithful to God. And what happens to Jeremiah? He starts to question and doubt God. He starts to complain and question, what is God doing? And Jeremiah issues three questions or complaints to God here in these verses. First of all, Jeremiah complains by doubting what God has said. In verse 7, Jeremiah says, "God has deceived me." This word deceive literally means to persuade to do something. So Jeremiah is saying that God persuaded him to go and proclaim God's coming judgment to these leaders of Judah. But remember, God had promised to protect and be with Jeremiah back in Jeremiah chapter 1. So what Jeremiah is doing here is doubting that God is doing what God has promised to do. And this happens to many believers today. Things get difficult. And what do? We start to question God's word. We start to question God's promises. And that is what causes doubts and complaints among us as believers, when we start questioning what God has promised. Secondly, Jeremiah complains about being made to look stupid or foolish. In verse 7, Jeremiah said, everyone is mocking him, and he is a laughing stock. Jeremiah, faithful to God, people around him are laughing at him. And Jeremiah questions, complains to God about this. Same thing for us. This should not come as a surprise to us today. We as believers, we are to be different than the world around us. We're to have different worldviews. We're to have different purposes and goals. So the world not understanding us, the world laughing and mocking our faithfulness, should not come as a big surprise. Thirdly, Jeremiah complains about being watched by others because of his faithfulness. Jeremiah has been speaking God's word. The people hearing, they're watching and waiting to see that what Jeremiah has been saying is going to come true. They're waiting to see if Jeremiah's words are going to fail. And this happens today to us as believers. Our skeptical and unbelieving friends, they're going to watch us as believers to see if what we say, our faith, and our commitment to God is real. As with Jeremiah, they're watching for us to stumble and fall. And Jeremiah, prophet of God, yet he was very human and he had feelings just like us. And in a low point in his life, when difficulties arose against him, he had some doubts and complaints for God. But we can learn from Jeremiah. Doubts and questions arise in our lives as believers. It happens to all of us from time to time. And here is the point I want you to remember. When doubting and questioning, difficult times, you start to complain and doubt, talk to God. Jeremiah, persecuted, low point, questioning and complaining. But who? Who is he complaining and questioning to? Who is Jeremiah telling these things to? Is he talking to his wife? Jeremiah never married. Is Jeremiah telling these things to his family? No. Is Jeremiah telling these things to his really good friends? No. Jeremiah is talking to God about the doubts and questions and complaints he has. Jeremiah is being very honest and open before God. And that's what we as believers are to do today. God knows we're going to have low points in our Christian lives. He knows sometimes there's going to be questions and doubts about what's going on. God knows, not only knows we will have them, he knows when they are going to come. Remember, Jesus, God in the flesh, was tempted in all points as we are. Also remember Jesus' life. He asked God why God had forsaken him on the cross. Jesus can identify with everything we experience, and that's why we can talk to God about it, because Jesus is sitting at God's right hand, presenting our case, pleading and interceding on our behalf. Take your doubts and complaints to God. Next, we come to our fourth point for today, which is faithfulness comes from God's word inside of believers. And we find this in verse 9 of our passage. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of withholding it in, and I cannot. Jeremiah, low point in his ministry, persecuted, having doubts and questions about his service to God. But Jeremiah stays faithful through this opposition and this questioning of God he goes through. How? Well, part of the answer is in verse 9, when Jeremiah says, there is within my heart a burning fire. And that burning fire, Jeremiah identifies as God's word. point out first here that God's word was in Jeremiah's heart. For the word of God to burn in the heart, the word of God had to be there. Now, Jeremiah, a prophet, God would speak directly to Jeremiah and put his word in his heart. For us as believers today, we have God's word. And for God's word to be in our hearts, we have to memorize it, meditate upon it, and hide it in our hearts. And secondly, I want you to notice God's word being in Jeremiah's heart, it did something. It had an effect. God's word burned in Jeremiah's heart, even in these difficult times. And that's what God's word does inside the heart of a believer. It burns. The phrase Jeremiah uses here, shut up in my bones, it means to feel something very, very intensely. It does something in the heart of a believer. That's why in Hebrews we read about God's word being living and active. Active, it achieves something. It does something in a person's hearts. And what did God's word call Jeremiah to do? Jeremiah says, I can't be silent. I can't keep God's word in my heart without telling it to these leaders of Judah. In other words, this burning of God's word in Jeremiah's heart calls Jeremiah to remain faithful to God. It calls Jeremiah to remain faithful and do what God wanted him to do, which was to proclaim God's word of judgment upon these leaders in Judah at this time. God's word, working in Jeremiah's heart, caused him to keep serving God even in the midst of trials and storms. When you truly know God and put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within your heart. And then the Holy Spirit takes God's word and, for lack of a better term, as Jeremiah says here, he lets you feel it in your bones. It's God's word, and it flames and it flickers in our hearts. Even in discouraging times, even in times when we doubt and complain. It's God's word burning in our hearts as believers that enables us to remain faithful through whatever we go through. Let me ask you, how high is the flame of God's word in your heart? Is it just a flicker about to go out? Is it a really small fire? You can't even warm yourself from it. Is it a fire big enough to warm yourself? Is it burning high enough in you, like Jeremiah, that you cannot hold it in? Is God's word burning high enough in you that you can take some of the warmth it brings and share it with others? Let God's word burn within you. Next, we come to our fifth point for this morning, which is faithfulness in difficult times comes from trusting in God. And we find this in verses 11 through 13 of the passage. But the Lord is with me, a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will greatly be ashamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evil doers. Here, Jeremiah, opposed, persecuted, having doubts and questions, and he trusts God. Yes, Jeremiah has been faithful in the past, but I want you to notice what happens here. He begins to really, really trust God. And that causes a dramatic change in his situation. Notice that this trust in God comes from two things. In Jeremiah verse 11, Jeremiah says, God is with me. Jeremiah now, after questioning and complaining, realizes this great biblical truth, that as a believer, God is always with him. He realizes that even though the circumstances are difficult, God has not left him. God is still with Jeremiah, facing this opposition. And God is there when Jeremiah doubts and complains. Not only is God with Jeremiah, but Jeremiah starts trusting God when he realizes God knows everything. In verse 12, Jeremiah says, God who sees the heart and mind. Jeremiah now is acknowledging God's omniscience. Jeremiah trusts that God sees his circumstances. And even more than that, Jeremiah trusts that God knows Jeremiah's heart and mind in these difficulties. And this means that Jeremiah trusts God to understand why he was doubting and complaining in the previous verses 7 and 10. And not only did Jeremiah understand that God was with him and that God knows the situation, but Jeremiah commits the situation into God's hands. Look at the end of verse 12. For to you I have committed my cause. Jeremiah trusts God here enough to commit what he is experiencing and going through into God's hands. Jeremiah is saying, here, God, you take care of it. It's in your hands. In the New Testament, we read in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And that's what Jeremiah is doing here, committing his cause, this persecution and opposition he's facing, to the Lord. And this is what real trust in God involves. Now, in the context of these verses, Jeremiah is trusting God to do the right thing. And Jeremiah is confident here that God will get him through these difficulties. Jeremiah trusts that his enemies will be defeated and that they will not overcome him and that his enemies will not succeed. Remember what these enemies opposing and persecuting Jeremiah are trying to do. They're trying to shut Jeremiah up. They're trying to keep him from proclaiming God's coming judgment on Judah because they have forsaken God. And Jeremiah says, that's not going to happen because I've committed my way to the Lord and God will fulfill his promise. And look at verse 13. Jeremiah is singing and praising God. Joyful. Joy. Now, when only a few short minutes before, he was questioning and doubting. Notice that this joy in the Lord comes about because Jeremiah trusts in God. Because of his trust in God, these difficulties and complaints become a reason to sing and praise God. Jeremiah's attitude changed when his trust in God grew. I want you to pay close attention here for a minute. When Jeremiah was doubting and questioning and complaining, verses 7, 8, and 10, what was Jeremiah focused on? Read those verses carefully. What was Jeremiah focused on? He was focused on the opposition he was facing. He was focused on what the people were doing to him. And he was focused on himself and what he was facing. And that caused him to question and doubt. But notice here in verses 11 through 13, who is Jeremiah now focused on? His focus now is on God, Yahweh, the great I Am. It's on God's power. It's on God's omniscience. It's on God's promise to always be with Jeremiah. And what does that lead to? Joy and no longer being discouraged and complaining. When we focus on self and the problem and circumstances in our lives, it will bring us discouragement and questions and doubts and complaints before God. But when we focus on God, It brings us joy and contentment and happiness. Don't lose your focus. Keep your focus where it ought to be, on God, not self, and not circumstances. And lastly, we come to our sixth and final point for this morning, which is faithfulness to God will sometimes cause believers to experience down times in their Christian lives. Before I go on, I wish I could have stopped with point five, the joy that he had. I wish the Bible just cut it off there and did not include verses 14 through 18. But I have to be faithful to the whole chapter. I can't just pick and choose. In verses 14 through 18, we will not read for the sake of time, but in these verses, Jeremiah, he goes from joy, singing and praising God, to utter despair. And he curses the day he was born in verse 14. Now, there's a reason that Jeremiah curses the day he was born and not his parents. Under Mosaic law, Jeremiah could not curse his parents because that would have been a capital offense punishable by death. You can look up Exodus 21:15 and Leviticus 29 for that. Now the question as you read these verses, was this a real curse on Jeremiah's part? In verse 14, Jeremiah said, "Let it not be blessed the day I was born." From studying this, and from my understanding, and I think the context supports this, Jeremiah is not really uttering a curse here. He's just saying he wishes he had never been born. And to make that point, that he wishes he had never been born, he simply says he curses the day he was born. I think verse 17 makes this very clear, where Jeremiah says that the man and the day are cursed, the man who brought the news of his birth, and the day are cursed, because they did not kill him in his mother's womb. Jeremiah is now in complete and utter despair over his situation. And he simply wishes he was not alive. He wishes he had never been born. Verse 18 says, he wishes he had not been born so he would not see the toil and sorrow and spend days in shame like he had been doing in this persecution. He's so discouraged and distraught at what has happened that he desires to not be alive and have to face it. What Jeremiah describes here is very, very similar to what Job went through in Job chapter 3, verses 3 through 12. You all know the story of Job facing difficult circumstances, lost everything he had, family, house. He himself had been stricken with disease. And Job again, like Jeremiah, doubts, complains, questions God, and curses the day he was born, wishing he had never been born so he would not have to experience such difficult circumstances in his life. Please understand with what Jeremiah is going through in verses 14 through 18, he is at a low point. Complete and utter despair. Jeremiah is at the very bottom in his Christian life. But I want you to point out something. I want to point out something to you here. Notice that this came immediately after singing and praising and having joy in the Lord. He was at a high point, and then he went to a low point. Big lows in the Christian life, many, many, many times, come after high points in the Christian life. It's the way it works. Remember, when Peter, James, and John, they were with Jesus up on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. They saw the glory of God. A high point. But what happened immediately when they came down the mountain? Most of you know what happened. They came down the mountain and they could not heal this boy with a demon. And Jesus called them a faithless generation and asked the disciples why they could not cast it out. And they could not. Jesus said, the disciple asked Jesus, why they could not cast it out. Jesus said, because the demon cannot be cast out except by prayer. The disciples, just with Jesus seeing his glory, come down and they don't pray. The point is, times of failure and despair often follow times of victory and success. It happens that way. Why? Because in times of victory and success, we stop trusting and depending on God. And we start trusting and depending upon ourselves and our own strength. And when that happens, despair and failure is sure to follow. Watch out for all the low points coming after high points in your Christian life. Watch out for all the valleys after the mountaintops in your Christian life. As we conclude this morning, we've seen that Jeremiah stayed faithful to God, serving God, doing what God wanted him to do in the midst of opposition and persecution. Jeremiah kept hanging on to God. As I studied Jeremiah chapter 20, one thought just kept coming back to me over and over and over again. And that is that Jeremiah chapter 20 is a great illustration of the Christian life. It shows us the ups and downs in the Christian life. It shows us joys and sorrows that we go through in the Christian life. Our Christian life, it has peaks, and then there are some valleys. But Jeremiah 20 also teaches us that faithfulness to God is possible, even when circumstances are not so favorable in our lives. It shows us no matter what we encounter or face, how good or bad, faithfulness to God is our goal. We go to the next slide, the last slide. Our theme for the year is growing together. And today we have seen growing together. Growth comes from difficult times. We grow during difficult times. Difficult times shows and proves our faithfulness to God. We grow together. Growth comes from difficult times because it causes us to trust God more. Growing together, our theme for the year. Growth comes from difficult times because it conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just bow humbly in your presence. We bow at the foot of the cross. And Lord, we know for us who are believers here, we have struggles. We have disappointments sometimes. Sometimes we face very difficult circumstances, like Jeremiah. And Lord, we know that you have promised to always be with us. And Lord, we know, because we know you, that we can depend upon you and that your grace is sufficient to go through. Lord, we thank you that as believers, we have someone who can help us during those difficult times. And we just thank you for that great promise. Lord, we pray for any here this morning who do not know you. Lord, when things get hard in their life, where do they turn? Sometimes I think about unbelievers and facing difficulties. How do they make it? How do they get through it? Me depending upon you, and it's so hard from time to time. But unbelievers, they don't have you. How do they make it? Lord, I pray for any unbeliever here this morning that they would come to know you and that you know that they can depend upon you.
Amen.
If it's difficult to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.